This is a recording of the Chabura I gave on 9th November 2024 for the Parasha of Lech Lecha. A few of the first Parashiyot in Bereshit describe for us the life of one of the greatest people who ever lived, our great forefather Avraham Avinu, and he is the central theme of this week's Parasha Lech Lecha. Avraham and his effect on us all will therefore be my focus for what was last Shabbat, this morning's Chabura. There is in Yeshayahu a prophetic directive to scrutinize his personality. Habitu el tzur chutzavtem ve'el makeves bor nukaratem. Look at the rock from which you were hewn and at the quarry from which you were dug. Look to your father Avraham and to Sarah who gave birth to you. We must learn about both Avraham and Sarah because they are the rock from which we were hewn and the quarry from which we were dug. They are our source and we were created from them. Quoting Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, Lech Lecha can be translated as go to yourself. This means, as was the case for Avraham Avinu, follow the inner voice, as did those who came before you, continuing their journey by bringing timeless values to a rapidly changing world. Is character strictly personal? Either you are or aren't calm, courageous, charismatic, or does culture have a part to play? Does when and where you live make a difference to the kind of person you become? That was the question posed by three great American Jewish sociologists, David Riesman, Nathan Glazer, and Rael Denny, in their 1950 classic, The Lonely Crowd. Their argument was that particular kinds of historical circumstance give rise to particular kinds of people. It makes a difference, they said, whether you lived in a society with a high birth and death rate, where families had many children, but life expectancy was short, or on the brink of growth, or one in the early stages of decline. High birth and death rate societies tend to give rise to tradition-directed people. Order is preserved by ensuring that people stick rigidly to rules and roles. Societies on the brink of growth are transitional societies, such as Europe during the Renaissance and the Reformation. They produce inner-directed types. There is mood of invention and exploration. People are facing the future while keeping faith with the past. Such societies pay great attention to education. Finally, come the societies that have already achieved maximal growth and are on the brink of decline. There is affluence. There's less need for the driven, focused, resilient, inner-directed types of an earlier age. That is when the third character type emerges, the other-directed individual. Such people are more influenced by others in their age group and by the media than by their parents. Their source of direction in life is contemporary culture. Now, thanks to the spread of social media and the collapse of structures of authority, this has now spread throughout the West. Ours is the age of TikTok, Instagram, and the Facebook profile, the vivid symbol of other-directedness. In the opening of our parsha are the words that brought the Jewish people into being. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetzecha u'mibeis avicha el ha'oretz asher areka. The Lord said to Avram, go forth from your land, your birthplace, and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Abraham was commanded to leave behind the sources of tradition-directedness, your father's house, and other-directedness, your land, your birthplace. He was about to become the father of an inner-directed people. His entire life was governed by an inner voice, the voice of God. He did not behave the way he did because that is how people had always acted, nor did he conform to the customs of his age. He had the courage to be on one side while all the rest of the world was on the other. His mission, as we read in next week's parasha, was Yitzaveh es bonov, ves beso acharov, v'shomru derech Hashem, la'asos tzedakah or mishpat, to instruct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that they too would carry with them the inner voice wherever they went. The centrality of education in Judaism was fundamental, since Jews would have to hold fast to their values even when they were a minority in a culture whose values were diametrically opposed to their own. Hence, the astonishing resilience of Jews throughout the ages and their ability to survive change, insecurity, even catastrophe. People whose values are indelibly engraved in their minds and souls can stand firm against the majority and persist in their identity even when others are losing theirs. It was that inner voice that guided the Avot and the Imaot throughout the book of Bereshit. Jewish identity is that inner voice, learned in childhood, reinforced by lifelong study, rehearsed daily in ritual and prayer. That is what gives us a sense of direction in life. It gives us the confidence of knowing that Judaism, virtually alone among the cultures and civilizations of its day, has survived while so many of the rest have been consigned to history. The life-changing idea of inner directedness, the courage to be different, began, as I said before, with the words Lech Lecha, go to yourself. This means follow the inner voice, as did those who came before you, continuing their journey by bringing timeless values to a rapidly changing world. Avraham Avinu was born at a time when idolatry ruled everywhere. His father Terach was an idolater who made a thriving business of selling idols. But under Avraham's influence, Terach eventually turned over a new leaf and died a God-fearing man. Achachomim tell us in Gemara Nedarim that Avraham recognized there was, is, and will be but one God, the creator of heaven and earth. With him began a new era in history. Though all mankind was worshipping a multiplicity of gods, Avraham, when very young, began his quest for the true God. Avraham dedicated his whole life to spreading the knowledge of God. On earth, no one as yet knew God except Avraham, and Avraham was the one and only man on earth who knew God and worshipped him. But soon, the God of Avraham came to be known by more and more people. Every man who left Avraham's tent and every woman who left Sarah's tent had learned something about God and went away blessing the God of Abraham. Even to this day, when we address ourselves to God in our Shemona Esrei three times a day, we pray Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and conclude the first of the 18, actually 19, brachot with Baruch Ato Hashem Magen Avraham, blessed are you Hashem, the shield of Abraham. This emphasis on the God of Abraham is an everlasting tribute to our father Abraham. Avraham, as the pioneer of a new kind of faith and way of life, was instituting a new form of relationship between the generations. In ancient times, the basic social unit was not the individual, but the family. The power of the father was absolute. Wives and children had no rights and no independent legal personalities. There were no individuals in the modern sense. There were only families under the absolute rule of its male head. The Torah was a radical break with this entire mindset. Monotheism was more than simply the belief in one God, because each human was in God's image, and because each could be in direct relationship with God. The individual was suddenly given significance, not just fathers, but also mothers, and not just parents, but also children. They were each to become persons in their own right, with their own identity and integrity. Such changes do not happen overnight, and they do not happen without wrenching dislocations. That is what is happening at both ends of the Abraham story. At the beginning of his mission, Avraham was told to separate himself from his father. Towards the end, he was told to separate himself in different ways from each of his two sons. These painful episodes represent the agonizing birth pangs of a new way of thinking about humanity. The Torah tells us about the life of Avraham, and from what we learn from our Chachomim of the Gemara and the Midrash, Avraham was the embodiment of the highest qualities of character. The quality of Avas Chesed, loving kindness, was boundless in him. His love of people expressed itself in many ways, not least in hospitality, which he practiced daily to perfection. The story of the three Malachim, the angels, who came to him disguised as wayfarers, is well known. Here he was, a man of 99 years, in pain, in it being the third day after his bris, his circumcision, on an unusually hot day, sitting outside the entrance to his tent and saw the three angels disguised as men. Avraham put up with his pain and the heat of the day and ran to meet them. He ran to prepare a sumptuous meal for them. Avraham was not like other chieftains that lived in that part of the world. He was the greatest prince of them all. Kings and princes sought his friendship and advice. The exalted Pharaoh, the God-king of Egypt, the powerful Avimelech, king of the Philistines, the mighty Hittite princes, all recognized Avraham as a divine leader and prophet. Avraham's place in the world and the high regard in which he was held can be seen from the statement in the Gemara. On the day that Avraham, our father, passed away, all the heads of the nations of the world stood in a line in the manner of mourners and lamented, "Woe to the world whose leader is gone. Woe to the ship whose captain is lost." Avraham prayed to Hashem whenever he was in need and made it a rule to pray to God every morning. Thus, Avraham is the father of our morning prayer, Shacharit, while his son Yitzchak introduced the afternoon prayer, Mincha, and Yaakov, the evening prayer, Maariv. Just as Avraham chose God, so did God choose Avraham and made an everlasting covenant with him and his children, the Jewish people. Hashem said to Avraham, "My name was not known to my creatures until you made me known to them. I shall regard you as my partner in the creation of the world." We, the children of Avraham, are the members of the everlasting covenant and partnership which Hashem made with Avraham, our father. To illustrate the effect Avraham and the Jewish people have had, I quote a 19th century American theologian, Lyman Abbott. "We Gentiles owe our life to Israel. It is Israel who has brought us the message that God is one and that God is a just and righteous God. It is Israel that has brought us the message that God is our Father. It is Israel who, in bringing us the divine law, has laid the foundation of liberty. It is Israel who had the first free institutions the world ever saw. It is Israel who brought us our Bible and our prophets. When sometimes our own unchristian prejudices flame out against the Jewish people, let us remember that all we have and all that we are, we owe under God to what Judaism has given us." Finally, having in mind that tonight, this was said on the day of the 9th of November, is the 86th anniversary of Kristallnacht in November 1938, and in the light of the recent horrific anti-Semitic events in Amsterdam, I'll quote Leo Tolstoy, who is regarded as one of the greatest and most influential authors of all time. "The Jew is the emblem of eternity, he whom neither slaughter nor torture of thousands of years could destroy, he whom neither fire nor sword nor inquisition was able to wipe off from the face of the earth, he who was the first to produce the oracles of God, he who has been for so long the guardian of prophecy and who transmitted it to the rest of the world. Such a nation cannot be destroyed. The Jew is everlasting, as is eternity itself."